Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Again, that number is 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. We've got Dave Schwann sitting in for news for Don Kleppen this morning. Good morning, Dave.
Oh, you caught me dancing here.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. You were dancing. Well, you had your hands up. I know. I did ask you to do that, so thank you. And Joe Brand, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Lou. Just to be clear, Dave Schwann wasn't dancing until I was dancing, and then
I followed Joe's lead.
Yeah, Lindsay was, while her hands were not back and forth, she was kind of moving in her chair. I did see that. You were busy working.
I was doing the Times Square.
Right here. Okay. Good morning. I have a quick sports question. This is for all of us. Are you all watching the Olympics?
I am right now.
Oh, well, you know, you're working. Oh, I guess for you, that's like work. Okay. This is my question. I was watching track and field has begun. Okay. First of all, I was watching some women's hurdles, right? Which is amazing, the hurdling, how the people can just go over the hurdle and their bodies don't move, right? These women are just specimens of like lean and just body control and whatever. And you know, there's all this in sports, right? And Joe, you right, there's all this sophistication and this gear and all this other kind of stuff that all these athletes now use, whether it's, you know, the performance fabrics or, you know, the shoes that they wear, whatever. I mean, wouldn't you say that the technology that athletes use is amazing?
No, 100%.
Why is it then in track and field they still use safety pins to pin on the names or the numbers onto their bodies? It's the funniest thing. They have these... These women were in these, you know, very, well, they're hardly wearing anything, but I mean, they're runners. I get it, right?
Right.
And then I'm watching this runner with a safety pin, putting on their name. So they've got their name, whatever it is, Miller or whatever it is, or McLaughlin, right? That's one of the stud runners in the women's competition for hurdles. And then they take the numbers and they pin them to their sides. Can we come up with a better idea for that?
Maybe that's it. It's the lightest, most efficient option. You know, like Velcro might be a little bit heavier.
We couldn't have 3M couldn't come up with a sticker that could just stick on there and take it off.
But what if it were to fall down and then somebody slips, Lou?
Don't we know who's running? It's not like it's the New York City Marathon. We know who's running.
Okay, so you're saying just eliminate the name tags and the number.
Seems kind of funny.
Altogether.
I mean, they're all wearing their... In other words, you could say, okay, if you're from Croatia, your uniform or whatever you're wearing will be, it'll be like something that has to do with Croatia, and you're from the U.S. or you're from the, you know, whatever country.
Or you could just have that number on the jersey. On the
or
singlet, whatever.
You're number three. Right, exactly. I'm just throwing that out there to the Olympic Committee if they're listening.
All right.
Which I'm sure they are.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you know, we stream all across the country, right? All right. 877-213-4LOU. Let's get a quick call in here this morning before we need to take a break. This is Bill, who's calling in from Colts Neck, New Jersey. Bill, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. So I have a problem in my shower. I have a leak. It's a second floor bathroom, and the ceiling above the shower is wet. So about 20 years ago, I remodeled the bathroom. I framed it out. It was kind of a custom size. So it was suggested we do a fiberglass shower pad, which the fiberglass guy came and did, and then the tile guy came and laid the tile. And when I discovered the leak about 6 months ago, I realized that the grout had come out. I guess from the water falling over the years, it kind of dissolves the grout, breaks it down. So I understand now that fiberglass shower pans are no longer code.
I was just wondering
if I should just regrout it and see what happens. Could it possibly be the fiberglass pan is cracked now that the grout's gone?
Okay, so you're talking about the grout that is between the pan and the tile.
Well, I'm talking about the grout that's between the tile.
Right.
So but we have octagonal tile.
On the walls.
All octagonal tile. No, this is on the floor. Sorry, on the shower floor.
This is on the floor. So you have a fiberglass pan that you then
Correct.
Tiled.
Correct.
Okay. But was it a finished?
Not professionally.
Right. But was it a? It was a sub. So it was. It was a tile, like a tile ready base. In other words, it wasn't a regular base that you tiled. It was not a finished fiberglass base. It was a custom made fiberglass pan that then they tiled.
Correct. Okay. I had a fiberglass guy come in. He laid the sheets and glassed it. Fit the space.
Got it.
But there was mud involved.
Oh, yeah.
Did mud. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do this before you go crazy. Is the drain in the center of the shower?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So take the cover off the drain, and I want you to buy at the hardware store something called a test plug. And a test plug is an expanding... basically, it's like a wine cork, but there's a wing nut on the top that, you know, you probably have a 2-inch drain. It could be an inch and a half. So maybe buy a couple.
I have one.
Okay. So put it in there. What I would do is put a little, so you get a good seal, take a little vegetable oil or mineral oil around the rubber part of it just to lube it up a little bit. Stick it inside there, tighten it up. Pour water just so the water is held around the test plug. And let's find out if it's leaking at that joint. Because remember, you've got a sleeve where the pipe comes up. That's all. And so let's see if we can localize if that's leaking and leave it there. Do you have another shower that you could leave this for 24 hours?
Oh, yeah. We've been using the second shower.
Got it. Okay. So leave that there for 24 hours. See if you can make it leak. If it leaks, this might be a drain issue as opposed to the rest of the tile. If it doesn't leak, put more water in so the whole base of the shower, where all the tile is covered in water, and leave that for 24 hours. If that's the case, then it's possible that, you know, where the mesh was, you know, something over the years has cracked, and then a little bit of cracking from the grout on the top could be an issue there as well. If that's the case, the next logical thing, if the tile is still in decent shape, is clean it all up, grind out a little bit of the grout, like at least an eighth of an inch, and then regrout it all and see if we solve the problem. If not, that base may have to come out.
Yeah, do you think the grout missing would cause a weakness?
Sure, sure. I mean, sure. I mean, that's certainly possible. But you want to make sure. Look, 90% of the time, Bill, that the leak is right by the drain.
Yeah, when they fiberglassed it, they actually went into the drain.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But that, if the drain is right there, then we can take that apart and have a plumber take it apart and then you know, see if they can fix it up.
Okay, so I put the plug in and I put just enough water. So
it's around the drain, give it 24 hours. If it doesn't leak, then put more water so the whole pan is covered in water 24 hours. And then proceed with how I mentioned the rest of it to go to try and make the cut. All right? Thank you so much. Okay, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Listen to this. So, you know, I have relatives in Italy. Did you know that? You know that. I've got a cousin in Italy.
I do.
And my cousin's daughter, okay, stay with me. My cousin's daughter's boyfriend is on the Olympic track and field team.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And he's a high jumper. Listen to this. Sadly, he got injured. He had to qualify, and I believe in his practice jump he did it. He had to jump 2.3 meters. Now, I know you're going to do the math, right? You're like, 2.3 meters, what is that? That's over 7'6" high.
With a trampoline. No trampoline?
High jump.
Kidding, but I know, like, it doesn't seem physically possible
with a trampoline. How about with a ladder? You need a ladder. I could do it with a ladder. I could put a 6-foot ladder there and jump off of it.
Crazy.
Is that crazy?
Hurt bunny. I mean, how?
7'6". And here's another aside, maybe something you didn't know about. In high school, I was a high jumper.
Come, you're lying. You just do this stuff.
And my best was at a track meet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was a freshman in high school. 5'1".
Come on.
Yeah, I couldn't do that now. I couldn't run into it at 5'1" right now.
I love it when you drop these tidbits here and there.
Little something, little nugget there, a little Lou Manfredini nugget for all you people. 877-2134-LOU. Let's go to Queens and talk with Peter, who's on the line. Peter, good morning. You're on HouseSmarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's up with you, sir?
I want to extend the life of my flat roof. Can I use a product called Blackjack Silicone Roof Coating, external coat?
Yeah, so it's here's the thing with flat roofs. Blackjack makes some really nice stuff. If the roof is in good repair, meaning that you don't have a lot of cuts or you're not having any leaking issue that you can see right now, these top coats can offer like an extra level of protection that, in particular, if you can do it yourself and save some money, I have zero problem with you doing that.
Okay. Do I apply this with a brush? Can I apply this with a brush?
How big of an area do we have?
This is about 2 feet by 10 feet.
Yeah. I mean, typically you can either roll it on or you can use a squeegee. You know, you're going to probably buy this in a 5-gallon bucket. It'll probably cover around 300 square feet or so for a 5-gallon bucket. So you really want to kind of put I don't want to say decorating a cake, but you want to put a nice even layer over the top. And what might make the most sense is you can buy these little screens. If you buy a 5-gallon bucket, these roller screens that you tip, you put inside the bucket, they hook on the side, and then get a pole, a roller, like a rough surface roller with a frame, a pair of shoes that you don't care about, and then if you can go up there and either sweep the roof off first, you know, in a perfect world, as crazy as it sounds, I would love you to hose the roof off or mop it off to get it as clean as possible. Let that dry so that you get the best adhesion from this product.
Okay, so can I use a brush then? You don't recommend a paintbrush?
I would in a big area like that, I would use a roller. I mean, you're going to use a brush in like the corners and the creases, but for the vast majority of it, I think a roller would make the most sense for you. Thanks so much for the phone call. 877-2134-LOU. This is Dom calling in, actually from Minnesota. Hey, Dom, good morning. You're on HouseSmarts Radio.
Yeah, hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I just stumbled on your show this morning. I had a project to work on and said, I'm glad I caught your show. And I was listening to your song. It said, God bless the working man. Rings so true in this toxic climate. Having said that, I have a project that I'm trying to remove all the popcorn ceiling all over the house.
Wow.
And try to make it easy and less, with the least effort. So trying to figure out how to do that.
So here's the absolute easiest way to do it, Dom. You hire somebody. But if you don't...
Yeah, I tried doing that, and they said you got to sell your house before I let you do that.
Okay. So
I'm having my coffee, too, there.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so with the popcorn ceiling, it's a tough job, but here is what I have found to do it. Are you familiar with... let me ask you this, Dom. What's the ceiling height in your home? 8-foot, 9-foot ceilings?
Oh, it's about 8.5 foot. This is not a straight ceiling. It's a, what do you call it?
Cathedral ceiling.
Angled ceiling.
Cathedral ceiling.
Cathedral ceiling,
right. Yeah. Okay.
That's what
Are you familiar with what a baker's scaffolding is?
Well, I am now.
All right. So it's a rolling scaffold kit that's typically, it's about 6 feet wide and it's about 6 feet tall. And then there's one big plank in the center. And this will be the easiest way for you to do this work. Of course, you're going to clear the room, and then you're going to take a spray bottle of warm water, and you're going to spray a section 2 foot by 2 foot, and you're going to spray it. Let the water soak in for about 5 minutes or so, and then you're going to take a wide scraper and start scraping.
Okay. Got it.
It's not an easy job, and you know, if you tarp mm-hmm. off a room and you do work 2-foot by 2-foot areas, the key is you got to get the popcorn wet, and then you got to get mm-hmm. underneath it, and then you will end up having to skim coat or patch the ceiling underneath there. You know, that's for sure. That once you're all done, you're going to have to do something like that to make sure that it's as, you know, clean and smooth as possible, and then go from there. Thank you so much for the phone call. It's a lot of job. As I said, the easiest way to do it is to hire somebody. All right, 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Margaret calling in this morning. Hi, Margaret. You're on House Smarts Radio. Oh, hold on. I got to click the button, and then Margaret will... Hold on, Margaret. Margaret's listening. My computer's being a little slow. Margaret, are you there? Hi, Margaret.
Oh, good morning, Lou. I hope you can give me some advice on how to proceed. I had a new roof put on in April by a reputable company. Did a good job. I mean, it looks good and everything. The problem is... I have a small addition that was put on by the previous owners, many years ago. There's a strong, plasticky, rubbery odor that has been coming from that area ever since the room was put on, which didn't exist, you know, the smell didn't exist before. It's hot and humid.
Mm-hmm.
When it's cooler, you know, it's still there, but not as bad. The smell permeates, you know, not only from the little addition into the little dining room in the kitchen, because it's a small Georgian. What, you know, they did a great job. The problem with the addition previous to this was that there were drafts that were coming where the outside roof meets the brick wall of the outside, and on the inside of the addition, there would be drafts that were coming down. So what the company, I told them about this before, I said, if there's anything you can do to try to make sure this is sealed well where the addition meets the brick of the house, if there's anything you can do, please do it. I'm thinking of, you know, put caulking, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So what the gentleman did, which sound logical to me at the time, they said, well, we're not going to use caulking. We're going to put some of the underlay kind of overlapping where the addition outside meets the brick, and then continue, you know, with the rest of the shingles. And then they had to put step flashing, you know, against the brick wall and everything. But ever since then, and I mentioned it to the manager at the store shortly thereafter, at the time, the woman who was working, she said, well, there might be some asphalt work going on outside in the neighborhood. I said, well, as far as I know, there isn't. I've been very patient thinking, well, maybe this smell is going to go away. It's not. What
okay.
should I do? I mean, it was a
okay.
good, it's the
right, hold on.
Timberling.
I'm trying to visualize, what they did. So where the room addition meets mm-hmm. the side of the home, and you said the side of the home
right.
is brick, correct?
The back of the house.
Is
right.
that a peaked roof? Like, is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so when I'm looking at it, this peaked roof kind of dies at the end of the wall of the home that's brick. And
right.
prior to them putting the shingles on, they took some rubber roofing and put it in the gap.
They put it kind of overlapped it, like
right. So
you know,
right, that's what I meant. In other words, they put it against the brick and on the roof, making almost like
try to seal.
Right, mm-hmm. but they made almost like an angle iron, like a right angle right there.
Probably.
And
yeah.
then they shingled over the top of that.
Yeah.
And they used step flashing. And then
yeah.
when I look at the finished roof now...
It looks real nice.
Okay, so it doesn't look junky. It doesn't look anything
no.
like that. Okay. So my guess is this. And let me ask you one other thing. That wall of the house faces what direction?
West. West.
So you get a lot of afternoon...
Yeah, it gets very hot.
Yeah.
I know. It's when this... product because they
so
use
my,
the
this fiberglass. This is my guess, is that if they use some sort of rubber roofing and they sealed it down there, typically you heat that up with a torch and it sticks to the roof, and then they finish it off, so they seal it and whatnot. And my guess is the brick is getting hot, and it's causing this thing where you're getting that odor in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a couple ways to test this. I think that what they did is probably causing this. You could have them come back and take a tarp, or like a paint tarp, a cloth paint tarp, and drape it, kind of tack it up so it covers. What we're basically trying to create is an umbrella so it doesn't get hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to look great initially, but this is to do for a few days to say, well, look, if I take the direct heat and the sun off of it, I don't get this smell. And so then we can determine if, in fact, this is what they, that caused the problem. The leaking should be able to be solved by properly step flashing the roof and using something called counter flashing, which is something that they go over the top of the step flashing. They mechanically fasten it to the brick itself, and then there's a bead of caulk that goes on the top of it. It's a very simple detail. It doesn't require additional materials to go on there. So, unfortunately, everything you just described is leading me to that if I'm describing it correctly. And I think that rubber's heating up in the sun, and that's what's that's what's causing the problem. So,
I would hate to have them tear all this. I mean, it looks nice, and it was a lot of work. They did a good job, as far as I can tell. But I would hate to have them have to tear this all off in the back there. But again, I can't.
It's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better unless that material comes off of there.
Okay. All right. Well, I will call them. I've been patient, but I wanted to see what you had to say. And I appreciate your help, Lou.
Thank you. Okay. Good luck with the project. Let me know what happens. Call us back, and hopefully it gets resolved, and we can at least share with people that, hey, yeah, that was it, and maybe someone out there is having the same kind of problem that might be helpful for them as well. Andrea, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Lou, your show is absolutely excellent. I listen to it with a very critical ear, and you are spot on. You know what you're doing, and it's really amazing.
That's very nice of you. Thank you so much. How may I try and help you this morning?
I'm not a relative calling it. Anyway, no.
I love when my sister calls in. It's really great.
Okay. No, I need help, and I know. I need your help and recommendation. Okay, years ago, I had my deck professionally done. They sanded it down. They put a product on, which I won't name, and it just didn't work because it didn't grip. Now, I need to know the type/brand of sander you would recommend my getting. Cost is not a problem at all. I need to know the level related to the grit of the sandpaper to use, and also the best brand of deck paint, not stained. I don't like stained decks. Basically, I want to paint it because I want to pull out the color of the trim, which then creates an extra room.
Right.
As far as the deck is concerned.
Okay, couple questions. Okay. First of all, how big is this deck?
I would say it's about 20 by 20.
Okay. And currently, the finish that you have on it, is it a stain or is it a paint?
No stain, paint. The original, the stain that's on it was a brand that... there was a class action suit against them. That's terrible. The years before that, though, I had Benjamin Moore, which I loved. And I'm sure let's go back maybe 15 years ago, I put the Benjamin Moore on. It lasted forever. And it was just time to redo, recolor, whatever. But anyway, so I want paint and that matches the trim on the house.
All right, I'm thinking about this. Okay, so there is a pad sander that you can rent that is a large, it's like a rectangular shaped base that comes with you'll rent this and then you'll buy the sandpaper from the rental house, and you're going to probably end up using 60 grit on the pad sander so that you can get as much of the paint off as possible. Okay. And then you're okay. going to use a smaller, like, random orbit sander to work the areas where the pad sander can't get, because, you know, it'll be this large pad and they'll be cupping where the paint and everything is. So we need to get that sanded as clean as, I'm going to back up. I want you to pressure wash and clean it first. That's going to loosen some of the paint up as well. Then you're going to go back and do all the sanding. And it isn't that you have to get all of the paint off, but you definitely have to get all of the loose paint off. Now, when you're done with the sanding and it looks as good as you can possibly get it to look, if there are bare wood sections showing, I'd like you to prime that with an exterior grade primer. And I think I'm just going to send you to Benjamin Moore for everything.
Good.
And so you're going to use their exterior primer in spot prime all these areas. And they have a product that initially when it came out, they had some problems with it, but it's gotten a lot better. And that's a whole separate story we can get into. But it's called Arbor Coat. And Arbor Coat is a really good product to use on a deck. It's a solid finish, but here's the thing: you cannot. It's a perfect fall project because you cannot do it when it's really hot and in direct sunlight, because we want to slow the drying process down. And if you apply this with a brush and a roller, you're going to get really nice results, and you can do it in any color you want to match it to make it look really nice. And if you take the time to do that prep work that I just spoke of, you should get some really nice results.
Now, question. If I didn't want to rent a the rental's not an issue, but if I didn't want to rent a angular sander, what's the best sander that I could get from, let's say, a store that carries equipment, like the still products and everything else?
Well, are we talking about a handheld product or something you would stand behind to do large areas?
Well, either or.
Well, if you were going to buy one, but just keep this in mind, Andrea, a big sander like that we're talking about is like a $1,500 purchase that you will use once. And so, unless you're going to get into going and do your neighbor's decks, I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money, but renting it probably makes the most sense. But you could buy one of those. The manufacturer of them, I'm trying to think of, I think one of them is called Dayton. You could find those. They even make the big scrubbers as well. And then you could rent one of those, buy one of those if you want. If not, buy a couple of random orbit sanders, and the biggest ones you have typically are 6-inch wheels. They do make an 8-inch that's a professional model. Bosch is a really good name in random orbit sanders that you could purchase, and then just get really aggressive sandpaper. Now, when you get the handheld ones, the thing is you're on your hands and knees doing this, and so it's just a lot of work when you're talking about a 20x20 area, but that's the suggestion, of course, with the larger sander. Do the big areas and then come back at it with the smaller ones to go. Thanks so much for the phone call. I really appreciate it. All right, we need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Coming up this hour on House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini, he will continue to take your calls live on whatever questions have you scratching your head about your house. And just after 7:30, we've got a new to Lou 2 that will have you singing, "Shoot Fly, Don't Bother Me," all day long. And it'll keep those flies out of your house. So stay tuned in right here to Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
Let me tell you something. If I said to Schwani, "What age would you say is young?" and I said 30, he'd go with me.
He would. He's not over by the microphone, but he totally would.
I know. Okay, so here's my question. So there was a bloodletting yesterday for the Chicago Cubs.
Wow, I haven't heard that term.
You haven't?
No.
Really? You can use that.
I get it, yeah.
Okay, wait, let's back up. So first of all, because I was off last week. A hearty, hearty, hearty congratulations to our Joe Brand, who will become the host of pregame, intermission, and postgame for the Chicago Blackhawks season coming up. And I could not be more proud and happy for you, Joe Brand.
Me too.
Thank you.
And Lindsay, too.
Thank you both.
That makes three of us.
And Don. And Don's not here, and then Dave.
Well, that
everybody's
makes four
so
of us
happy
then.
For you.
Well, throw in right. Don, even though Don's right. not here.
Thank you, Don, Dave, Lou, Lindsay.
You're a fine young man, Joe Brand.
So happy for you, and I cannot.
Joe. Remember when Joe first started working with us,
and his name wasn't long enough.
Hard time about his name. That you're never going anywhere with that name. You got to change your name up. Joe Brand.
I also remember you guys were trying to play a song, and I accidentally like took over the airwaves to where no one else could play anything other than what was coming through my microphone, and you guys are all like screaming like, "Hey, no, we're trying to do something here," and I'm just going on with my first sports update ever. Ferguson came in. He's like, "What is going on in here?
What are you doing in here?
You
what?
All
what?
Had those moments.
Yeah, right. right. For me, it's every Saturday. Well, I'm super happy for you. And a little sad for us because I assume you know we will no longer be working with you on Saturdays. But you know, bigger and better things. That's all good. I've got a call into Mark Giangreco.
Okay.
I mean, he's just sitting on the bench right now.
Oh, I gotcha. I got
right?
You. Oh, boy. All right. Hey, you know what's funny really quick? You know,
Giangreco's made all his money. He can be from home. We can set him up with a microphone, and he can just get up, and you know, he'd probably love doing it.
When I was a kid, I used to think Mark Giangreco were two people, Mark G and Greco.
Right.
Kind of like an Eddie and Jobo type thing.
Right. I was at a store once, and I put my name in, or a restaurant, or something like that. And I'm like, Lou Manfredini. And then we were waiting, and then the lady comes out and says, "Is the man from Dini here?" Well,
there's
congratulations. I'm super happy for you, and I can't wait to listen to the Blackhawks and listen to you doing all that fine work that you will do. I'm really, really happy for
you.
So thank congratulations.
You. Thank you very much. And, you know, just always appreciate the constant support from the man from Mandini.
Thank you. The man from Dini.
From me.
Oh, yes. And
and from Lindsay.
And Lindsay, of
you know,
course.
I like to
okay,
meet all.
So real quick, there was a bloodletting at Wrigley Field yesterday. And here's a couple of my questions. I guess I'm okay with Chris Bryant and Javi Baez. I'm not okay with Anthony Rizzo. And here is why. How old is Anthony Rizzo?
Anthony Rizzo is...
older than you.
Yeah, I want to say 31. Yep, 31 and 23 days.
Okay, and is Anthony Rizzo making like a gazillion dollars?
No, he's... I'm trying to get the exact
number.
He's
not
right
like
now.
A Jason Hayward type of dollar. He's not like anything like that, right?
No. Jason Hayward's the top guy on the entire salary, but $16 million.
Okay, I mean, so okay. Now, I was talking to my son Quinn, who's very sad about all of this, and although his future wife is a Yankee fan, so it's kind of like it's kind of okay. But anyway, he should retire a Cub. Like, how many more years do you think Anthony Rizzo is going to play baseball?
Probably a couple. I mean, I would
three?
Say.
Yeah, 2-3?
Yeah. Maybe,
okay.
Maybe four.
When the Cubs won the World Series, he took the ball of the last out and put it in his back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And at the big celebration, he took that said ball out of his back pocket and gave it to Tom Ricketts.
Mm-hmm.
And then they traded him.
I mean, a lot had happened in between those two timelines,
okay.
But my question, I
understand. So, is he not still a really good first baseman?
Yes, but he's...
not hitting well?
Right, yeah. He's not the player that he was, but okay. He's still a premier first baseman. And, I mean, basically it comes down to he was going to be a free agent, and it's not like they were going to keep all three in terms of Baez, Bryant, and Rizzo, so... in order to,
like I said, I'm fine with Bryant. I'm fine with Baez. I mean, I like both those players. I mean, Javi Baez is probably one of the most dynamic players in the Major League Baseball. Agree or disagree?
I agree. But here's the thing, Lou, and I'm not saying this will happen, and I totally understand where you're coming from, and I think a lot of other Cub fans feel the same way. But what if the Cubs do sign him after this season because he'll be a free agent, and then not only do they get to retire, or does Anthony Rizzo get to retire as a Cub, but the Cubs benefit from trading him, maybe getting something for him,
What did they get for him? Like, I saw something on Twitter, like a short order cook. What did they get for him? Somebody works at a diner?
No, it's not all like that. It's not always like that. No, they get a couple of prospects from the New York Yankees, a couple of well-coveted prospects in terms of the baseball world. And, you know, when the Cubs traded for Aroldis Chapman in 2016, they gave away Gleyber Torres and a couple other pieces, mainly Gleyber Torres, though, and then the Yankees went back and they signed Aroldis Chapman. And then they have Gleyber Torres and Aroldis Chapman. It could happen.
You got to find the audio. I saw that. Did you see the video of Anthony Rizzo leaving Wrigley Field and all the fans were out there?
Yeah.
And did you see his dad was there with him, too?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody interviewed his father, and his father had nothing but wonderful things to say about Chicago and the fans. And I don't know who the reporter was, but they asked him, What do you want your son's legacy to be, you know, in Chicago? And he said something, but he goes, if they ever put a statue up of him, I want him to have a statue outside Wrigley Field where he's taking the ball and putting it in his pocket.
That's cool.
Right? He is the Mr. Cub of this generation.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, 100%. And then you trade him away.
Again, it's a tough day. I'm not gonna try to sugarcoat that. But a lot of things had happened, and I understand where the Cubs are going. I understand that this is very difficult for them and their fans. But you got to make the best of the situation that you have at stake right now, and that's what I think they felt they had to do.
Congratulations, Joe Brand.
Thanks, Lou.
I'm glad we didn't trade you away.
Thank you. I'm glad too.
877-2134 Lou. Let's get a quick call in here. This is Miriam who's hanging on. She's in Brooklyn. Hi, Miriam. Thanks so much for hanging on. How may I help you?
Hi, Lou. I wanted to know, I had a tree removed from the front yard. I believe it was a mulberry tree. And what has happened is on the side of the house, there's a walkway, and I'm getting all of these sprouts every year. I have to cut them down. And it's like the big tree is gone, but it I guess the root went underneath the walkway.
Right.
And between the house. And there's a big, it's getting big. And I don't want it to crack the foundation between the house and the walkway. It's right in the crack. I wanted to know, how do I kill it, you know?
Did you, when they took the tree out, did they grind out the stump, too?
Yeah, they grounded the stump. But I remember when I was, weeding, that area, that there was a piece of the stump still there. And then it finally, I was digging, and it, broke off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, a whitish color. And I just pulled it out of the ground, but it seems like it made babies, it trailed underneath the walkway.
Right. So I want you to go to the hardware store or the home center, and I want you to buy a bottle of something called copper sulfate.
Copper sulfate.
And where you see the remnants of the stump in the front yard, sprinkle or pour, it comes in either a powder or a liquid, pour some of that there, but then also where you see the babies coming up, that's really where I want you to put that, and that will get absorbed into the root system, and it will kill what's left. And just be mindful of paying attention to what it says on the bottle, but the copper sulfate is kind of a trick of the trade, and you should be able to solve that problem. Those mulberries can be, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't want to die. They want to keep coming back. And so they're, pulling themselves back. And those little sprouts, you know, if you leave them, if you let them get bigger and bigger, exactly what you're worried about, that the concrete can crack. And we definitely don't want that at all. All right. Thank you so much, Miriam, for hanging on and calling in. 877-2134-LOU is the phone number. 877-213-4568. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Yeah, Joe's always been nervous that my wife was going to take his job anyway. So
David would do it. David's always wanted to do it.
He's not a woman.
We're talking about it last. Oh, that's true.
We could have David. Yeah. David could get up. Yeah. Wait. Okay. So here's the one problem with that. David would have to wake up in the morning.
That.
would be a problem.
Is going to be the issue here.
Yeah, he'll be like, no,
he'll
thanks.
Be like, can I record it and just send it to you?
Thanks, I'm successful. I don't need to waste my time with you. 877-2134-LOU. 877-213-4568. All right, let me see if I can get this right. It's Jeanette in Mount Prospect. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, Lou. How are you? I love having all the tips that you give while we're waiting for you.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm glad you were paying attention. How may I help you this morning?
Every one of my faucets, the cold water is very thin. I don't get any pressure. The hot water faucet seems to work, but I get a very, very slow flow of cold water on all of my faucets.
You mean in the kitchen and everyone, the kitchen, the vanity, every place?
And the bathroom, right. Huh. I'm just wondering, the house is about at least 60 years old, and I think, I don't know if you call it galvanized, the pipes
right.
are the old ones, if that's a problem.
It could be. Let's try something. Are you willing to try a couple things yourself?
Sure.
In your vanity faucet, you know where the water comes out of the faucet when you turn the water on? There is
right.
that aerator that where the water comes out that you can unscrew. Have you ever taken that off?
No, but I see what you mean.
If you took a pair of if you took a pair of pliers, because chances are it's probably pretty corroded, and you were to loosen it. Now imagine if you're looking up at it from the sink, you would go righty tighty, lefty loosey. And you would
You see it's kind of a screen.
Well, there's a screen, but then there's a little bit of a, there's a little bit of a metal around it. That whole little piece comes off.
Right.
Grab it with some pliers, loosen that up, and that could be corroded. That if you then turn the water on and see if that helps to increase the pressure of the water. Now, if it doesn't, another thing that you can try is underneath the sink. You have what's called the stops, the valve stops that allow you to turn the water on and off to the fixture itself.
Okay.
If you were to articulate the cold water side, meaning that you would turn it off and then turn it on and do that a couple of times to see if you can loosen up any sediment that may be in that, then turn the faucet on, see if that increases the pressure. If that doesn't do anything... And you could try this at another bathroom. You could try this at the kitchen sink. Then what you're speaking of where the galvanized pipes may be atrophied could be the issue. Now...
Oh, okay. I'm looking at it now. Okay. It's kind of a coil kind of a thing that goes to the valve?
Correct.
Okay.
And so you would turn that, you would just turn the valve on and off several times. And chances are, to turn that valve, you'd have to turn it, a couple times to the right and a couple times to the left.
While the water faucet is on?
That would be great.
Okay.
Try that. If not, do you have a pen or a pencil handy?
Pardon me?
Do you have a pen or a pencil handy?
Yes, I do.
I'm going to give you the name of a company that that replaces the water lines in your home.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand that.
I'm going to give you the name of a company that you could contact who could come and replace the water lines in your home.
Wow. You mean all the water lines?
Correct.
Wow. Is that because of the old galvanized pipes?
It can be. With the galvanized piping, it can atrophy so much that you just can't get the water through it. The name of the company is Repipe Specialists. If you hold on a second, all right, I'm going to put you on hold. And I'm going to have Lindsay give you the phone number off the air so you can contact them. And that way you can see and then give you an estimate to find out exactly what's going on. Thank you so much for the phone call. When we come back, we've got a new Tulu 2 for you that is going to answer. It's going to keep you from saying, as Lindsay said, shoo fly, don't bother me. But right now, It's time for WGN Radio News. We had this lovely meal, and everyone enjoyed it. They're like, oh, my God, the chicken is amazing. And I turn, and I look at the chicken that's left in the bowl, and there were, like, flies on it, which totally grossed me out. And I, like, fleck them away, and I'm like, oh, it's so gross. And I put stuff over the top of it so they wouldn't get it. And I still ate it later. I mean, come on. Like, how much can the fly poop? But anyway, flies are a real problem. And they're, in particular, a problem indoors. And that can be problematic. I'm looking right now for the big setup because I know I downloaded it, but now I don't see it. Hold on. It was there, and it's gone. Okay, so anyway, the fly-catching thing is a real problem. And when you're thinking about trying to control it, you know, what do? There's sprays and chemicals, and the one thing that's kind of gross is fly paper. You know, Mallory is living down in New Orleans, and I guess she has a huge problem with flies, and she bought some fly paper, and I go, it's just gross, right? And it just you don't want to use that. This is a product that looks really cool. I've been using a version of it, and the new version is really nice. Our Noodle or Two is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. When you need a new ride, you need a new Chevy.
All right, I'm about at wit's end with flying insects in our house. Our kids are constantly leaving the sliding glass door open when they go in and out, inviting any and all pests into our home. Then I remembered this fly trap thing that we featured right here on House Smarts Radio a few years back. A plug-in device that wasn't the prettiest thing, shining a bright blue light to attract mosquitoes and flies to land on the sticky pad inside, and ultimately getting rid of them in your home. But I do remember it worked, and I remember so vividly because my husband was super skeptical, so, of course, when I presented him with evidence, it was one of those super proud moments. You know the ones I mean. After doing some research this week, I found the company has since created a few more of these plugins, some with a more updated and discreet look. Our new Tulutu this weekend is the Dynatrap Dot, which stands for Discreet Outlet Trap. The Dynatrap Dot Indoor Flying Insect Trap is a small but powerful solution for big insect problems. Whether it's fruit flies, house flies, gnats, these traps work. Plug a dot into any outlet where you've noticed high insect activity. For us, it'd be our kitchen. And like a moth to a flame, or a blue light in this case, it will lure and trap those insects. The Dynatrap Dot uses no zapping, making it a great choice for homes. They have a bunch of other products that do the same thing, but in different shapes and sizes, indoors, outdoors, some hanging, some sconces. The original one we featured years back has a big silver plate in front of the light and is bigger than the dot. The dot is smaller, has a white covering, which makes it more discreet. On all their products, the UV LED lights attract those insects that are naturally drawn towards light, while the sticky tech glue cards trap and securely hold them until the time of disposal. The dots provide up to 400 square feet of coverage, while the lights last up to 20,000 hours. It retails for about $15, although I found them on Amazon this week in some sale for $8.99. For more information, visit HouseSmartsRadio.com.
That's this week's I am so buying the new dot because it is so much more attractive than the other one. The first version of it works amazingly well, but it's this giant black box that takes up the entire receptacle. And so they kind of, I think they got smart about this because what they did is they knew what they were doing when it took up the receptacle because they put plugs on the side of it so you could still plug things in. And they're like, by the time they spent all that money, they created now a flat little version that allows you to have the other outlet so you can plug something in.
Right. And you can turn it. You could do the little twisty. So like if you've got a vertical versus horizontal.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I plugged these in.
$8.99. They need to charge more.
Well,
they're like, that was they're like executive green carpet cleaning. They're not charging enough.
Good. That was a sale. I don't know if it's
even at $15. I would spend, right? That's like a $25 item.
My girl. So we always have flies in the house. The girls are always they're buzzing everywhere right now.
What is it with these kids in the doors?
You know,
I mean, it is unbelievable to me. All kids and young adults that are in my family. I'm like, were you born in a barn? And I never understood the barn. I don't understand the were you born in a barn, which is if you were born in a barn, you would know to close the barn door because the animals would get out. So that I don't never understood that, right? Right. If you were born in a barn, you're like, oh, yeah, I was born in a barn. Better close the door. Right? I don't get
I think
that.
It means
that
like,
is
are
a,
you, I think it means like, are you an animal? Because animals can't close doors. Were you born in a barn?
All right, maybe, whatever. Okay. Keep
so
going.
Anyway,
kids, doors open, flies.
Sadie was so excited to put these up. She put a couple of them up in the house to catch these things. And I will say the first day, we didn't have any. I mean, she would look. We didn't have anything, any flies sticking to the sticky pad. But last night, I was thinking maybe since they're smaller, like maybe they're not, maybe they're different. They're not as effective as the larger ones.
Well, the sticky one's the same thing.
I know, but it's like a smaller. Oh my gosh, it works. This thing is like, there are little flies on there going, ooh, get me off the little feet. It's kind of sad, but it's also not.
It's not sad. It's not. Believe me, there's plenty of flies. You're not, it's, you know, I'm it's like the clone army. They just keep coming.
It, but.
Right, exactly. honey, why can't you sleep? Oh, all the flies. Help me, help me. All right, go to HowSmartsRadio.com and search the Noodaloo 2 tab, and you can see information about our Noodaloo 2 from Dynatrap. I really, really like the new version. 877-213-4LOO. 877-213-4568. This is Karen in Wheaton. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Lou. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Question for you. I purchased a thermometer that I would like to mount on the outside of our kitchen window. And I got my husband talking in the other ear here.
I hear that.
But our home was recently re-sided, and it's re-sided with hardy board, and the windows were also trimmed out with hardy board. And so my husband is now hesitant to mount the thermometer because he's concerned about having to drill into the hardy board, let alone having to screw into the hardy board.
Mm-hmm.
And in all, I think he's going to be after me if I don't mention this. I think as I'm touching this, the whole thing with the box weighs 1 pound, but it's not all brass. Just the caps are brass and the two mounting brackets are brass. But it's fairly lightweight, but it is 12 inches tall. So that's the full scoop. Can you guide us on how to mount this to the outside?
How about we go to the hardware store and buy some exterior grade Velcro, which is similar to the kind of Velcro strips that if you put like an iPass in the car, you know, it's that kind of heavier duty one. Then what is the name of that man you've been married to for how long?
Oh, Phil.
Philip
is right here.
Philip. Hi. Phil. Did you ever see Beverly Hill Cops? Did you ever see that movie, Phil?
Yeah.
Philip. Phil, what's with the gun, Phil? What's with the gun? It's a famous line from Eddie Murphy. Anyway, so take the strips and then cut them to the exact size of the mounting. Like, is there a flat part where the screw would go through? Stick that on to the thermometer, and with Karen inside going a little higher, Phil, no, a little lower, a little closer, and then you have the other ones on there with the sticky side off, and just wipe down the hardy and just push it right onto the siding, and you're done. No damage. If you ever had to take it off, I mean, it's not going to go anywhere. That exterior grade will hold 10 pounds. But if you ever had to peel it off, you could, but you probably never will.
That's a great idea.
And is this something that's available through Ace, or would we have
to? Oh, yeah, hardware. No, no, no. You got exterior grade Velcro. It's called Hook and Loop. It may not be Velcro brand, but you can find that at the hardware store or the home center.
Fantastic. Thank you very, very much.
Happy wife, happy life.
That's how it works, my friend. Thank you for calling. Phil! What's with the gun, Phil? Got to find that line. 877-213-4LOO. We'll be right back. So Mike and I, when we were in business together, we had a tile guy, a tile setter, and his name was Phil. And so this is back when the movie came out. And we would be on a job site, and he'd be doing the tile work, and we'd show up, and he'd be there, hey, man, Phil!
Oh, my God.
What's up with the gun, Phil? Man, you changed! I mean, we would both do it. And this guy was kind of this... He was a young guy. He was a little older than us, but he did not appreciate it. And he would roll his eyes. Oh. And what did we do? We did it every morning.
Right. I could so picture Phil, you doing it.
Phil, oh, you changed, man. What's with the gun? I forgot there was swear words there. Thank you for indulging me. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Pam calling in from Naperville. Pam, good morning. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. How may I help you this morning?
I'm going to have my husband tell you.
Oh, all right.
So I'm subbing for Pam. I'm John.
Hi, John.
Sorry about that. Hi. We have granite countertops. It's got an OG finish, and on some of the edges, it's got like a little chip, okay? And on the top, there's like some little pits. I'm wondering if there's a company that comes out and can, you know, fix that and make it nice and smooth.
I mean, the only way to do that is they would have to literally, I mean, to get it done right is they would come back and re-sand and buff and polish the stone, which is very involved. Now, let me ask you this. On the surface of the counter, is it like you feel the pitting, like when you put your fingers across it?
A little bit, but not a lot.
One of the tricks of the trade is, and it sounds crazy, but it's been used for years, is super glue. And so what you do is, where there's a chip or a depression, you know, it's like you can see it, you really don't want to fill it, but boy, if it was just smooth over the top, you wouldn't know it. You put a little of the liquid super glue, so like the original, almost like the crazy glue, and you would overfill it, and then you take a razor blade and you cut across the top of the surface to kind of cut it across to make it nice and smooth. Now, I've seen them do this trick 1,000 times, and it really does work. Now, it's a little more difficult on that OG edge that you're talking about, but that can definitely be done as well, and you could shape it with the razor blade. Now, as far as a company to call, they used to be a sponsor. I know they're still in business, and it's a company called Sun Gloss Marble.
Gloss marble,
and there I think they're in the western suburbs somewhere, and they specialize in refinishing floors, but also counters as well.
Okay,
so maybe try on one of the the pitting part of it. Try the little super glue trick and just see. You're not going to ruin anything. It's just got to let it dry. And then come back over it with a sharp razor blade and see what kind of results you get.
Okay, so you let it dry. You don't do it when it's wet.
You let it dry.
I was wondering about that. Okay.
So, you know, when you overfill it, you're going to almost see like a drop of water over the area. Yeah,
right.
You know, it'll be raised up a little bit. And then you place the razor blade flat on the surface, and you just scrape across the top of it to kind of, almost like you're shaving. Like you're shaving the top of it. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay. I'm going to give it a try on one and see what happens.
You got it. Good luck, and I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU, broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studio. We'll take a quick break and be right back. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's go back to the phone lines now. This is Mary in Michigan City. Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Lou. I wanted to tell Lindsay if her children weren't born on the side of the hill where the door slammed shut, that would help.
Oh, to help keep the doors closed. I like that.
I get it.
That's good, Mary. How may I help you this morning?
Well, I have two problems. I've been trying to call about a plumbing problem, but in the meantime, if you only have time for one, I have a picture window. The glass has separated from the frame due to rotting.
Okay.
You want to know what kind it is?
Sure.
It's a Pella. Have you had experience with that? Because I called the company and they told me it is not under warranty. I thought it was a lifetime warranty.
Yeah, no, not lifetime. And this is the separation that you're talking about. Is it on the exterior of the window?
I could, before my grandson put caulking, put an envelope through from the inside to the outside. It would fall right through.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Uh-huh. Wow.
How old are these windows?
This window is only 19 years old. My house is over 65 years old. Right. Not anything that was built into my house ever did this, but I had to have the window replaced because I had vandalism.
Mm, understand. Well, okay. The framing of the window like that typically... Now, let me ask you this. Has the glass lost its... integrity, or the glass itself looks fine?
The glass is okay, but this is a thermal pane. Is that going to have anything to do with the ceiling again? Or I had someone come out, but I was not home to talk to them, and they called me back and said that they were getting in touch with Pella, but it's wood encased in aluminum,
right,
and it has rotted away.
Right.
But why would Pella not stand behind this?
Well, typically windows have about a 10-year warranty on the frame like that. So that, I mean, that is not, I'm sure that even...
Even my house would only have a 10-year warranty and it's over 65 years old?
Well, your house has no warranty, Mary. I mean, I you don't have to get mad at me. I'm not Pella. I'm just telling you... I'm just telling you, within the industry, no one has a lifetime warranty on windows and doors.
Really?
It typically is 10 years. And it's like anything, too. If they came and they would look at it and say, well, you know, it's like if you put a new roof on and they say it's a 35-year roof, and then there's some problem 10 years from now, they don't replace your roof. They prorate the fact that you had the roofing for 10 years, and they write you a check and say, here's $250 or $500, because it's only the materials, not the labor. And so somebody like a Pella, I'm just singling out Pella because that's what you have, but they could say, well, this happened because you didn't paint it properly. I mean, I'm just telling you that all the manufacturers will come up with an excuse as to why it's not their problem. So
okay. You
can certainly try and get Pella to come out and fix it for a fee, or, you know, and the thing is that if the glass itself, that's why I mentioned, if the integrity of the glass itself is still in good shape, that window can be retrimmed and sealed properly so you don't have any issues. And that can either be done by a Pella technical person, which they have, but that will be a fee. They'll charge you for it. Or by some carpenter that has experience doing this that could do it as well.
But my main problem was Pella would not even talk to me. That's what got me going to an individual contractor.
Right.
And now what your advice would be. However, you do not feel that I would have to replace the entire encasement, the wood itself, the entire window?
If the integrity of the glass is still there, The rotted wood can be replaced. Again, without seeing this, I can't definitively tell you 100%. But if it's just a small section where you've got some rotting, then it can be removed. It can be repaired and put back in. The issue really, Mary, for you is when you do all of that, you said it's a picture window?
Yes, and there's two side windows. And at first I thought it was just mold, and then it turns out that it rotted away because it was very dark.
So let's just, for the sake of argument, say that, you know, if you had an estimate to replace that entire unit with the picture window and the two side lights, and you went with, I'm going to use Gilkey. They're a sponsor. I work with them. They make a really nice fiberglass window. Let's say that window cost $3,000, $3,500 all
probably
in.
Probably what it would.
Okay. So now, if I hire a carpenter to come and patch up all this wood and try and fix this window, and it costs $1,000,
right,
is that the best use of your money?
Oh, certainly not. But I this was an insurance claim, and I do know how much it costs to replace the entire window.
Okay.
So you're pretty much on track there, price-wise, with the inflation.
Right. So, I mean, my advice to you probably is to go, if your budget can afford it, is to replace the window that you have.
And what's the company you would recommend, and do they come to Indiana?
I believe they do. Gilkey, 888, the number 3, G-I-L-K-E-Y.
G-I-L-K-E-Y. Okay, have you got a second to tell me why my kitchen sink doesn't want to drain properly, even though I do keep up on taking care of the...
Is it a single sink or a double sink?
Single sink. It likes to gurgle, and then even after I put drain cleaner down, it doesn't work for too long a time.
Okay.
And it goes, I'll tell you, my laundry tub is directly below. Does that have anything to do with it? It doesn't come up the laundry tub, but it gurgles.
So it could be that the sewer line inside is clogged, and that's why you're getting the gurgling, because the venting, you know, there's just not enough flow. And if it's a, you said it's a 60-year-old home, is it?
This isn't, the sink is not that old.
Well, not the sink, but the plumbing itself, correct?
The plumbing from the sink, you mean? Or
well, in other
house?
Words, what's in the wall, the house is 60 years old, correct?
Okay, gotcha.
And is that all galvanized pipe, as you, if you think? Do you think?
I may have replaced that.
Okay.
When they put the new kitchen in.
All right, let's try one more kind of drain cleaner before you call the plumber. It's a product called Insta Flow.
Okay.
I want you to run the hot water in the sink and get the drain warm.
Mm-hmm.
And so once it's warm and then the water drains out, I want you to pour some of this in. It's like a crystal over the top of the drain. Then,
okay.
And then add boiling water over the top of it to dissolve it. Let it sit inside the pipe for about 90 seconds, and then turn the faucet on to drain.
Okay, and I suppose I can get that at my Ace Hardware.
You can.
Thank you.
Be well. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU. It's 8:23 in the morning. You're listening to House Smarts Radio, broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studio. We're going to take a quick break and be back right after this. I had this conversation with this woman, and prior to the interview, we were just chit-chatting and talking and doing whatever. And so she's with this company that has created basically birth control for rats. And we'll get into it, and you'll learn. It's super interesting. But so I'm asking her, I go, wait. Before we start talking, I go, let's get to know each other a little bit. I go, here's a little tidbit about Lou Manfredini. I go, about 20 years ago, I was the spokesperson for Decon. Did you know that?
May have known that, actually.
Yeah, no. Joe, did you know that?
I did not know that, no.
Okay, so Decon, now this may have changed, but at the time, when I was the spokesperson for Decon, they had had one other spokesperson besides Lou Manfredini. Mm-hmm. Who was it? Schwani, I know, is getting ready to do the news. He may know this one.
I'm thinking.
Who was the only other spokesperson for Decon besides Lou Manfredini at the time? And I'm telling this to the lady that I've never met. I'm talking to her, Nicole, about this. Muhammad Ali.
It was Muhammad Ali?
Was Decon. It'll knock you out. That was what he used to say. Remember that?
Yes.
Remember?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then we're laughing about that, and I'm going, you should, Nicole, your company should do this. You should steal the Decon, and, you know, you should be whatever your company, knock you out, this and that. And then I said, oh, and by the way, if you're ever playing that game about how many away from Kevin Bacon, what's that game?
Six degrees of Kevin Bacon.
I go, if you ever meet anybody, I go, I'm one. And she goes, me too. The woman that I was interviewing was... So listen to this. She used to work for a band in Boston when she was in college. She's got free tickets for a band. And she was, their band was opening for the Bacon Brothers. So she passing out T-shirts and CDs or whatever, and then she sits in a room with Kevin Bacon and her brothers and meets Kevin Bacon and has this lovely conversation. I met Kevin Bacon when he, too, was on a Bacon Brothers thing in New York in the green room, had like a half an hour conversation. And we both almost simultaneously said, he's so little. He's like a tiny little guy.
Did you talk about the birth control for rats?
We did. And I was the conversation, and I recorded the whole conversation we had with this woman, which was great, that I mentioned to you I was going to send to you. I was like, oh, she's so nice.
You're like, no.
She's so nice.
But our conversation was so lovely.
She was so nice.
We're going to go get beers.
So, couple to little tidbits today. I was a high jumper my freshman year in high school.
Oh,
5'1", my highest jump. And me and Muhammad Ali, to the best of my knowledge, the only two spokespeople that Deacon ever had.
There's not going to be a quiz or anything, right?
Well, Joe, this is like things to say at my, you know, years when you're talking about me later on. What's that Lou Manfredini like?
Kevin
Bacon's.
You
know. And I'm number one, 6 degrees away from Kevin Bacon. I'm one, which makes you and Joe and Schwani two.
I don't really like
right?
two.
Like, two, how three, tall and four
how
successively.
How tall is Kevin? Just out of curiosity.
How old is Kevin Bacon?
No, how tall? Why you say
he's
so
tiny.
Like a little
like he was sitting there when he stood up, I'm like, wow, you're like a tiny little man.
Oh, I'm sure you and said that just, to Kevin Bacon.
No, but I mean he's a slight of a man too. Like he's, you know, small. He doesn't look that way on camera. But isn't that just so funny? And she's laughing.
I'm sure.
And then we talked about birth control for rats, which you're really going to find interesting. But right now, it's time for WGN Radio News. All right. Rodents are a big issue for all of us. It's something that none of us want to have in our homes. You know, you've heard me talk about this on the show. There's no such thing as one mouse or one rat. And they carry a lot of diseases. And I know that when I give advice about how to eliminate the problem, many times I talk about poisons, and then I will hear from people saying, oh my gosh, you're killing the rats, and that's terrible. Well, I don't have that kind of love for the rodent because they do carry a lot of disease, and there certainly are repellents that you can use. I talk about those as well that can be deployed and to keep the rodents away, but there is a brand new product that has a kind of a different take on eliminating the rodent issue. Joining me on the phone line is Nicole Williams, who is the chief strategy officer for a company called SenesTech. Nicole, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your company and the product that you folks have invented and are distributing.
Sure. So as you mentioned, I'm with SenesTech, and our product is ContraPest. And what ContraPest is birth control for rats. So as you mentioned, you know, there's no such thing as one rat. If you think about it, two base rats, a male and a female, in the course of 1 year can create up to 15,000 rats.
Okay, stop. Stop.
So
wait. Stop right there. I want you to repeat that because I have said I have quoted this over the years and I want you to say it one more time so people can hear it.
So, a base pair of rats, a male and a female, can create up to 15,000 rats in just 1 year.
That's so gross. It is just so
it is.
Gross.
They come to sexual maturity at 2 months of age and can turn out a litter every 8 weeks. I mean, just imagine
how
many mice are, I mean, or rats. They just, they multiply like crazy.
Right. And there's no such thing as one. And it is, I mean, it is proven about the disease and all the stuff that they carry. And it's just, this is not something we want in our lives. And so you folks have, you're like the Planned Parenthood for the rat population.
That we are. we are aiming to create safe rat sex for all out there so that they can, you know, do their thing, but not overpopulate the earth.
Right. And so this does not kill the rodent, but it impairs their ability both male and female to reproduce?
Correct. And that's one of the things that is really special about ContraPest is that it impacts both the male and the female.
Wow.
So we have two products that are considered the active ingredients, if you will, VCD and Triptolide. And one of them impacts the ovarian production in the females, and the other one impacts the, you know, effectiveness of the sperm in the males. And so it will slow or even stop the reproductive rate for the rats.
Is this a pellet like traditional rat baits that you would put out? Or, I mean, what does the product look like?
Sure. So in one respect, ContraPest is just like you would imagine. So if you're going to deploy it in your home, it would feel somewhat similar. It has a bait box. But instead of being a solid bait or something like that, you actually have a tank with a milky-looking liquid. We like to call it the rat milkshake. And it's got a special tray that you put in there, and you'll actually put that, you know, liquid into this bait station. And the reason for that is a little-known fact about rats. They consume a lot of liquid compared to their body weight. So for a rat that's in a food-rich environment with lots of choices from trash, or say you have a chicken coop or something, and there's a lot of things for them to eat, you can see people really struggle to get the rats to come in and actually take their bait. And with ContraPest, because it is a birth control, you need them to be continuously consuming the product. So how do we get a product out there for the rats that's going to keep them coming back when they have a lot of other choices? Well, because they have to drink so much liquid to just, you know, biologically function,
mm-hmm.
and we've created this fat, sweet, delicious rat milkshake, they will continue to come back for it time after time, and it just maintains that consumption that we need in order to maintain those results of slowing or stopping the birth rate,
so,
and therefore gaining control of the rat population.
Got it. So it is not unlike, you know, what people would recognize birth control, where it is something that has to constantly be consumed. It isn't that they would consume this once and then the reproductiveness is done. It is they have to keep coming back.
Correct. So it's a buffet. You got to keep them coming back for more.
Wow.
It works like a traditional birth control would, in that they need to continue to consume. But again, because we have this delicious, irresistible milkshake, we see that when we deploy this in areas across the country, the consumption, you know, does stay very consistent. They keep coming back for it. Not only do they biologically need the liquid, but they love the taste of it.
So in a situation, you talked about agriculture, where obviously that is a huge issue, where rodent control, this is really a... In a way, it's yet another tool that, say, a farmer could use, because obviously eliminating the rodents is important, but it's like a never-ending cycle, because you eliminate 10, but there's 15 that just were born, right? And and so in concert with other products that are out there, this is really a quite effective approach.
Absolutely. If you think about what's involved in population control, you have two levers, birth rate, death rate. And so traditionally speaking, we have had a lot of tools as a society to try to manage the death rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be your traditional pest control methods. But we haven't had an effective way to control the birth rate. And that's where ContraPest comes in. So we now have this product that you can, you know, just like we have in the past, you can choose to just focus on the death rate, or you can just choose to focus on the birth rate and use a non-lethal product like ContraPest. And that has a lot of positive effects, you know, to the environment, non-target species, it's safe around your pets, et cetera. But if you're in an environment where you're looking at protecting food safety and food loss and things like that in the food chain, they're generally looking to just get the problem under control as fast and effectively as possible. And so in those environments, we do see a combination of, you know, controlling the death rate and the birth rate at the same time. And we've seen as much as 95% reduction in the rats in sites on some of our egg and poultry farms.
Hmm.
And, you know, and the other thing to think about is the financial impact that rodents have. So they're having equipment loss and damage,
oh, yeah.
You know, egg loss and all these different things. And at the end of about a 12-month run with introducing ContraPest with a traditional program, we were able to see about an estimated savings of over $500,000, close to $600,000 for these businesses.
Wow.
Just by really getting that rat population under control.
Let me ask you, you touched on it a little bit about pets. So, you know, you have a lot of people listening that have cats or dogs. You mentioned that the delicious, irresistible milkshake has some kind of container. Is the container designed to keep pets away from it, or I mean, what about that? I know that, you know, with traditional baits, you know, like the typical bait that you would give to kill a rat, there's actually an antidote for animals, right? I believe it's called K1, mm-hmm. right? That they can give if a pet were to ingest it. What about pets as it pertains to contrapest?
So contrapest is in an EPA-certified, you know, traditional bait station. So it's got the same protections just to keep non-targets like pets out of the bait station to begin with. So that's your first line of protection, of course. But should a pet get a hold of, you know, this bait station and somehow drink the contrapest?
Because it's delicious. Because it's delicious.
Because it is delicious. It is. I've not tried it, so let's, you know. But I've heard from all of our scientists and the consumption from the rats that it's apparently delicious.
Right. Okay.
But if you did have a household pet that consumed the contrapest, it's not going to have a toxic impact on your pet. There's no rushing to the vet for an antidote and watching them for hours to see what happens. You know, the levels of our active ingredients are specially formulated for the size and biology of rats.
Right.
And so there's really going to be no impact whatsoever on your house pet by ingesting this. The levels just aren't there, that even if they drank the whole tube, you're not going to see an adverse effect.
That's amazing. Is this product, two questions, A, how is it available? Like, how do people learn more about it? And B, is it available in all 50 states?
So to learn more about ContraPest, you can visit ContraPestStore.com, and there you can learn a little bit more about our active ingredients and all of the different, you know, components and how to properly and effectively deploy ContraPest around your business, in your home, etc. And you can also purchase directly from us at ContraPestStore.com. Now, we do have restricted use in three areas. That's Connecticut, New York, and Washington, D.C. So that just means that they can't purchase directly from us in those areas, but they could contact and have a conversation with their pest management professional and say that they are interested in introducing ContraPest into their program, and that could certainly be done that way. They just can't purchase directly.
I know that this is, you and I don't know each other, but you have no idea how this topic excites me. I mean, I just think that it's so cool, and it's just such, I mean, like, we got a lot of problems in the world, right? And we got to solve them all. But this one, I really like the approach, because I do feel like what we've been tasked with before, with trying to control rats and mice and rodents like that, it's just, you know, it's like the clone army in Star Wars, right? They just keep coming. They just keep coming. And, you know, you eliminate one line and there's, you know, 50 lines behind it. And this is really, really interesting. Nicole Williams is the chief strategy officer. The company's called Sinestech, and they make this brand new product called ContraPest to help control the population of rats. I think it's really, really cool. Nicole, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. Hope lots of people go to your website and learn more.
We do as well. Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. By the way, that's also our text line. We'll do our Just Text Me segment coming up in the next half hour. Right now, let's talk to Larry, who's in Carpentersville. Hey, Larry, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. First of all, I'd like to thank you. Several months ago, you gave me a suggestion about how to fix a frame that wasn't the proper size using 1x3s. I had put new doors in.
Okay.
You saved me about $3,000 by using the 1x3s behind it on the trim.
That's awesome. I'm glad that worked out. That's terrific. How may I help you this morning?
Okay, I need to figure out how to refinish a fiberglass exterior door. It is not peeling. It is just fading. Mm-hmm. I went online. There's 100,000 different ways, and every one of them confuses me.
Yeah. You know, the one thing you're going to find mostly on the fiberglass door is the whole thing about gel stain. And I'm not a fan of the gel stain. So what I would do is use... So there's a product called Howard's Restore a Finish. It's actually for wood, but this can work for the fiberglass as well. And you're going to use that with some quadruple zero steel wool, put it in a container, and then with the grain, wipe off and kind of smooth out the fiberglass, and it'll take off some of the stain that's embedded in the fiberglass itself. Then once that's done, if it's nice and smooth at that point, use a regular exterior stain on the door. Now, how dark are we going to go?
Well, I'd like to go semi-light.
Okay, that's better for fiberglass. And so what I would do there is, my trick even with the stain is take a little bit of the stain and put it in a container with a little bit of mineral spirits to thin it a little bit, and then apply that with a brush and a rag to get it nice and even and smooth on there. Then when that dries, put a full coat of the stain over the top of that to get a nice, so you get enough substrate from the color into the fiberglass. And then over the top of that, you can use a spar varnish.
Okay, I have the spar varnish. And second of all, years ago you talked about that plastic trim around the windows and the doors, how to stain and peel it. I can't remember what you said.
Plastic. Well, if we were talking about a plastic trim, there's a product called AZEK, which
AZEK
AZEK, but you don't stain that. You can paint it, but it comes in white, and it cuts and shapes and attaches like wood. And if you want to paint it, you can paint it.
Okay, so it's
AZEK.
Can I get that at Ace?
No. You got to go to a lumber yard. You got to go to a lumber yard for that one.
Okay.
Okay. Actually, you're in Carpentersville. I mean, I know of a couple spots, but I don't know anybody off the top of my head in Carpentersville.
Don't worry about it.
Find a good lumber yard. I don't know. They probably do. The big boxes probably carry it, or they probably carry a version, but I really do like the AZEK product specifically. It was the first one in the industry, and I think they still make the best stuff. Appreciate the phone call. 877-2134-LOU. Quick break. Lewis, who is in Elk Grove Village. Lewis, good morning.
Hi, Lou. I need your help to save my marriage here.
Okay. I'll do my best.
My wife is getting tired of cleaning black mold coming from one shower head in one shower of four in the house. And I'm racking my brain here trying to figure out why it would only be coming from this one and not from others. The whole system looks pretty good. Just had the water heater replaced, so it's not water heater related. But help me out here. What could it be?
It's got to be the head. Is that head any different than the other heads that are there?
Nothing's different about it, but I clean it the same way.
Right, but you clean it on the outside, right?
No, I remove it and I put it in a bucket of CLR.
And then it just gets a black. Let me ask you, where do you live? Elk Grove Village. So you're on city water.
Right.
You don't, if you fill a glass of water from the kitchen sink, you get nothing.
That's correct. None of the other faucets or showers have the same this problem.
And the shower valve in the shower is single handle or double handle?
It's double handle because it's got the rain head as well.
And the rain head is not moldy.
I would say it's not prevalent. It's certainly not as significant as the regular shower head.
Because you don't use it that much.
Well, no, we use them about the same.
But there is a residue there too.
It's very minimal. It's very minimal. It's clearly coming from the regular shower head because
right. It's
along that wall. You can see it on that wall. It's like it forms from there and then right directly below
Wait. So it's not the shower head. It's the wall?
Well, the mold is, you could see the mold forming along the wall where where the water drips down from that shower head and directly below that shower head, but it's not directly below the other shower head.
And it's tile.
Yes, it's tile.
And so you're cleaning the tile of the mildew or mold, and you're seeing evidence of the tile, but you're also seeing it on the head itself.
That's correct. It's on the head as well as the walls and the floor in that particular shower.
And you have, well, you said two handles because there's a rain shower, but is there a mixing valve, or like, do you have a cold water valve and a hot water valve, and then you switch between the heads, or there's a single mixing valve that turns things on?
A single mixing valve, and then the other one only switches between the two shower heads.
Okay. All right. Well, the first thing that I would try just for an experiment is I would take that head off and I'd buy an inexpensive shower head as a test to see what happens for a couple of days. Like maybe there's some rubber or something that's deteriorating in that head that's causing the problem. If after one more question. After you clean this and soak this, and your wife, what's your lovely wife's name?
Eileen.
Eileen says, okay, looks great, Louis, nice job. And then, like, 2 days later, Louis, you blew it. Like, is it 2 days later?
Yeah, it's pretty close. I was, maybe not 2 days, but I'd say within a week or so.
Okay, so let's go buy an inexpensive shower head that you won't love, but that's okay. Just say it's for a test. You're gonna, you know, $6, $7. And then let's see what happens after a week. If it's eliminated, then it's something inside the shower head that's deteriorating, and it's really not mildew and mold. It's probably just like rubber residue that's coming off, and that's not uncommon. But if that does still occur with the inexpensive head, then it might be in the mixing valve itself, and you may need to replace the cartridge, and that's where the residue could be coming from. One other question, you're not experiencing any leaking that you know of anywhere in like below the shower?
No, and I'm fairly certain I would be able to notice that. So
okay.
No, I don't think that's happening here.
Okay, so if I'm right about changing the head and it's within the head, you're going to spend $5 on a cheap head, and if that is the answer, then go buy a nice shower head and replace it, and then you're happy, right? And
good. Yeah, great.
And then if I'm wrong about it, then it's probably the mixing valve where this is coming from. Marriage saved.
I love it. Thank you so much. But I have one other question. Do you have time for one more quick question?
Sure.
Related to that, could it be some in somewhere along that run, there's a piece of galvanized that's maybe corroded or something like that could be contributing? Could that be a factor in it?
Sure. I mean, if you have similar metal materials connected. So, I mean, this is a whole, you know, this is more to the, this is like, you know, Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. So if you have
right.
a mix of copper and galvanized and there's not a dielectric union occurring, then you could have electrolysis, and that electrolysis actually metal flakes off of that, which could be black in color, which could be what you're experiencing, and it's not mold or mildew at all. And you can just say, Eileen, it's just metal flakes. Consider it to be iron for your diet and see how that works out for you. But that could be the case as well. How old is your home?
The home is 50 years old, but it was completely remodeled 8 years ago.
And you know for a fact there might be some mixed metals, or you're guessing?
Well, as I inspected the rest of the system, I did find some places where there was like a galvanized cap for the end of a run. I removed that, but when I removed it, I noticed it was, there was some corrosion and nastiness in there. And
anywhere that copper, if they remodeled it and they used copper piping, if the copper is directly touching metal, meaning that it's a galvanized, you know, it's a male end of a copper and they threaded a female, you know, T or a elbow, but there's no dielectric union, which is a brass coupler in between the two, that can cause electrolysis, and that could be a contributing factor, and it has nothing to do with the shower head or anything.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought that might be a problem, too. And before I do that, I'm going to try your experiment before I tear out the wall here and look at the mixing valve and also the rest of the
what's on that? Around. What's on the back side of that mixing valve? Is there a closet there?
No, it's a little bit of a hallway. It's drywall, so I can pull it out.
Yeah, so that's where you'd have to go.
Yeah, great.
Right,
okay, well, I really appreciate it. Thank you. I'm going to go talk to my wife and tell her what a great man you are.
We love you, Eileen.
Thank you.
Marriage counselor, hair tips. What else do we need? What else? High jumper.
Decon.
It'll knock you out.
9:20 in the morning, 877-213-4-LOU. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
My entry door, I got two side lights on either side.
Mm-hmm.
Double pane, decorative on the inside, clear on the outside. The clear glass is busted. I cannot get the trim off to put new glass in there. There's little plugs over the screws.
Right.
I used a drill bit, of course, but you can't expose the entire screw. How do you get the screws out to get the trim off to replace the glass?
Well, did you drill out the caps?
I tried with a regular drill bit, but all you're seeing is the hole of the Phillips head. You're not seeing the entire screw. I got to find a tool that goes around the plug, exposes the entire screw so I can get at it.
Okay, so in those doors, that trim is like plastic, right, on the outside?
Exactly, yep.
So what I would do is, you got to drill out that plug all the way if you're unable to use like a utility knife to get it out. So make the hole a little bit wider so you get the entire plug out. And then that should be a small Phillips screw head that is probably not a number two Phillips. You're going to need a number one Phillips, which is a little bit pointier, to go into that screw. So part of the problem is the screws are so small that a number two bit on a screwdriver just won't grab it. It won't go deep enough into the screw. So if you go with a slightly bigger drill bit, drill out the hole, take the screws out, then you can replace the glass. Then when you put it back in, you're going to have to put the screws back in and then probably just use some type of putty to fill it, like a wood putty that you can slightly sand when it's dry and then paint that trim to match.
So I used a bigger drill bit already. The problem is the drill bit's pointed and I'm not exposing the entire screw.
Okay, so now, So then take that number one Phillips with what's remaining of the plug and push it in there and kind of, because it's plastic, so you should be able to get through it and even take like the butt end of a hammer and tap it so you get it into the slot and then back the whole thing out and then go back and do the putty thing. Because if you push too hard with the drill, you'll drill out the screw, and then you can't get in. You know, then you're screwed.
Yeah, right. I was expecting a tool like a real small little hole saw.
No.
Get around this.
No, that won't work.
Okay, I got you.
Just push it through, pop through the plastic, but use a number one Phillips screwdriver.
Number one, got you, Lou. Thanks, man.
You got it. Appreciate you calling this morning. Let's talk to Wally, who is in Oak Forest. Wally, good morning. Hello, Wally. Hello, Cindy. I think Wally went away. Let's see if we can get Cindy, who's in Plano. Hey, Cindy.
Hey.
Hi.
So, hi. I have a quick question, I hope. our neighbor, one day when we weren't there, apparently had a hose out and had something attached to it. He didn't do it, but somebody else did it. And they sprayed his lawn. So, I don't know, a day or so later, my husband says, did you see their lawn? It's like dead. I mean, there was no grass. It's brown. The problem is that he also sprayed into our yards where our garage is. So we're trying to figure out, we don't know what he used because he never volunteered the information to my husband. So
wait. Who sprayed this? The neighbor did or they hired a contractor?
No, the neighbor had a friend do it. And apparently they used the wrong stuff. They were trying to fertilize their lawn, I guess.
And they killed it.
Yeah, they killed their whole lawn plus part of ours.
Oh, boy. But you don't know what it is?
Not for sure, no. But, I mean, I guess he could maybe ask them again.
Well, I mean, how long ago was this?
Just within the last week.
Okay. You know, it's probably some type of total kill weeder or maybe they thought it was there is a version of Roundup that is supposed to not kill the grass and kill the weeds, but you know, maybe they bought the wrong bottle and that's what they killed. So in the areas where your lawn is dead
I would rake up what's dead, water it really well. The problem is there's residual capabilities with that. In about a week or so, try and reseed that area, put a little, a little bit of topsoil over that area just to keep it moist, and within a couple weeks, you should be able to have some grass coming back there.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
thank you.
But the key is you got to water it out of there because it's going to be at the top end of that soil. So if you keep a sprinkler on it, like, you know, maybe this evening put a sprinkler on it for an hour, then on Sunday do the same, and then, maybe towards the end of next week try the raking and the seeding and then water that, and it should start to come back.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll try that.
Thanks, Cindy. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU. That's also our text line. We'll answer some text questions coming up after we get to the news. We're broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studio. It's 9:30 in the morning. Time now for WGN Radio News.
Suds asks, I have small splatters of hair dye on my large wall bathroom mirror. Other than replacing the mirror, is there a product that will remove the dye? I've tried everything I can think of.
Except
Superzilla.
Tell the audience about the thing that when you were driving your car and it moved and it hit your car.
So, I perhaps ran into one of those big stone trash cans at the gas station.
Right. Well, it jumped out at you.
It was farther away from the pump than it should have been.
And right. Of course, this is in no way your fault.
But it was a little scratch on the car, and I just assumed it was like a scratch on the paint. But and it was there for months, and I was at your house, and you said, oh, here, let me do... Let me just spray a little of this on there.
Sounds just like me polishing my shoes. Yeah, so spray a little of the Superzilla on there. It's funny that the dye that should not get absorbed into the mirror whatsoever. Spray a little bit of the Superzilla on there. Let it sit. It'll obviously drip because it's a mirror. But spray it so it sits there. Let it sit there for about 5 minutes. And then use a you could use a microfiber towel. You just don't want anything super aggressive because you don't want to scratch it. But I bet it'll solve the problem.
Amazing
Superzilla.
Stuff.
We love it.
We love it. Hi, Lou. I had a new water heater installed on June 25th, 2021. How often should I drain it? There are 4 showers a day here. Thanks.
If you're going to install a new water heater, tanked water heater, the real opportunity to drain is once a year. And if you wait, like, oh, I've had the thing 10 years and now I drain it, nothing comes out. I mean, you want to try and get that sediment out of there. You know, there's no matter where you live, there's sediment in the water. And so once a year for sure, and you don't have to drain the whole thing. You just put a garden hose on there. You open up that valve at the bottom. You'll have to probably release the pressure relief valve a little bit to get some air in there to let it drain. Like a bucket, not even 5 gallons, a couple of gallons just to suck out the bottom there and then seal it up and you're done.
And take a shower.
And then take a shower.
How do I remove well water spots from stained oak trim above the kitchen sink?
Well, that may already be embedded in the finish. And the reason I say that is I have the same issue with a sill that's over our sink where I just need to refinish it now. I've messed around with it trying to make it look nice. And at this point, I think what you're probably going to have to do is sand down the surface and get down to the wood, possibly do a little restaining, and then you can just touch up that sill, you know, because it's a specific piece of wood. And what's a good idea there is to use a waterborne polyurethane and a foam brush, because then you have a small foam brush, you can get into the corners and just do that sill. I would start with a satin finish, not super shiny, to fill that in, and that will probably be your best bet. So a little bit of sanding, a little bit of staining, water-based polyurethane should do the trick. That's our Just Text Me segment this morning, 877-213-4LOU. This is Wally calling in from Oak Forest. Hey, Wally, good morning.
Good, Lou. Hey, the question I have, I'm buying a condo. I have my inspector over there.
and he found two bathrooms don't have hot water, but the sinks in the bathroom have hot water. Is that going to be a problem? I haven't know. I haven't talked to him to see what he thinks the problem is.
Do you like taking cold showers?
No.
Yeah, well, then it would be a problem. I mean, if you have no hot water coming out of the bathroom fixtures, I mean, that could be an issue with the valve. And obviously, this is something, if you're going to buy this condo, that you could put in your inspection report to have them replace it. It's got to be something at it has to be something at the fixture itself if you're getting hot water at the vanity.
Right.
So
that a big fix?
Well, it's not a fix for you to make. Right. I mean, the thing is that it could be that the valves need to be replaced, which, you know, if they had a plumber come and replace two valves in the shower, what town is the condo in?
Arlen Park.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you get a licensed plumber to come in and replace those valves, I mean, it could be $1,000, if not more, to do all that. You know, because depending on the setup, you know, I don't see it, but if it's a single valve and they determine that the valves are no good and they have to replace it, it could easily be $1,000-$1,500 to do that.
By the way, do you have to open up the wall to get to the valves on the other side?
Not necessarily. If it's a single valve, depending on the size of the excussion, they may be able to do it even from the tile side. Again, it all depends on the type of valve that's there. And, you know, I would, you know, the problem is if you're going to ask for a credit, if it were me, I would have them fix it. And that way you don't have to do
exactly what I did say. I don't want a credit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because you don't know. And so have them fix it. And then whomever is fixing it, make sure that that's a licensed plumber so that if there's an issue down the line, you can go back and, you know, say, hey, XYZ Plumbing, you know, you did this and now it's not working.
Okay.
Good luck, Wally. Thanks. I hope it all works out with the new purchase of the place. 877-2134-LOU. This is Kathy in Beverly. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Lou. This morning I have a question for you. I have the 70-year-old home, Georgian. My second floor bathroom, the water pressure in the shower is trickling. And my sons were visiting from out of town. They said, Ma, you got to get rid of this thing. Is there a possibility we could change the galvanized piping, the horizontal piping in the basement? Would that increase the water pressure going up to the second floor?
Well,
or do I have to knock down the wall to get to the vertical part?
It's funny. We've gotten a lot of water pressure questions today. You know, it's kind of like a theme. I mean, certainly the horizontals can be a problem, but it's the risers, the ones that go vertically, that are typically the problem. Now, this is just in the shower, but the bathroom, like the vanity's fine?
Very good.
Okay, and has anybody just tried just removing the shower head to see what kind of... Let me ask you one other thing. Is this a tub or just a shower?
Yes, it is. A tub.
Okay. What about the volume of water that comes out of the spout?
It's strong.
Okay, so let's start with removing the shower head and then turning the shower on with just that shower arm popping out and see what kind of volume of water you're getting. If it's like a nice volume, like a steady stream of water coming out of that arm, then it might just be a clogged shower head.
Okay.
And then you can
I've done the same thing with the CLR. I've soaked it in the CLR.
Right, but at some point, the CLR trick works, but at some point it doesn't anymore. And so if you take that shower head off and you turn it on and you get a nice solid stream of water, okay, then you probably just want to put a new shower head on there and be done.
Very good. Thanks, Lou.
Thanks, Kathy. I appreciate you calling. Have a great day. It's 9:45 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back after this.
Hi, Lou. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay. I got a question. I bought a house about 4 years ago. It's an older house, built in 53. It's got a cinder block basement. It has a couple posts on there already, but it's been peeling and chipping. And I know there's a few moisture issues going on. But what I want to know is, do I have to strip the paint all the way down to the bare black, or could I just scrape away and use some type of wheel to get all the rust spots, smooth it down, and go over with a new coat of dry lock?
So how much, I guess the question becomes, how much, and this is all something you want to do yourself?
Yes.
Okay. How much moisture do we have coming through that block foundation?
Well, it's...
Are you getting, when it rains, are you getting standing water in that basement?
No. No, actually, the very last block that half buried in the floor, the seam there, when there's a super heavy rain, it does, I am getting a little bit of leakage from that bottom seam.
Hmm.
About a couple inches off the floor.
Right.
The bottom block is halfway buried with the floor.
Right. Well, okay, so with what you want to try and do, if you want to try and keep the moisture out and do this yourself, I'm going to give you a different product instead of dry lock. So scrape what you can, anything that's loose, get it as clean as possible. And there's a company called Ames, A-M-E-S, that makes a product called Blue Max. And it is like a polymer rubber coating that you can put on the walls. Now, I believe the original product is blue, but I think they have it in white as well. And that does a really nice job of sealing the block. As a matter of fact, when you go to, when I go to these trade shows, their big thing is they take a bunch of cinder block and they just stack it all together on the floor, and they don't mortar anything, and then they paint the inside of it with the Blue Max, and then they fill it with water.
Okay.
So that that would help keep some of that water out if you want to try and do this yourself.
So you don't suggest that I clean out the joint there and fill it with hydraulic cement?
I think that if you have loose mortar in places like that, you absolutely should do that. And I don't necessarily know that if you're going to use the Blue Max, you don't need to use hydraulic cement. I would just use regular mortar to sustain the integrity of the wall, clean that all up, and then go ahead and use this product over the top of that. I mean, keep in mind that block foundations are super porous, and they're very difficult to keep water at bay. And, the right way to fix this would be to do some sort of interior drain tile to manage the water. But if you want to try and do this, you know, on your own, then that probably makes the most sense to try this coating on there.
Yeah, okay. But my question is, once I scrape off all and nothing, the old paint that's peeling, and smooth it out with one of those,
a pointing tool.
Yeah. Smooth it all out. Will it be okay to go over the old existing paint?
Yes.
Okay.
Long as we take care of all the loose material and it's clean and as dust-free as possible, then you could put this product over the top. Yeah. It's very sticky. Just follow the instructions on the label.
Okay, so this is called Ames.
Ames, A-M-E-S is the manufacturer, and the product is called Blue Max.
Blue Max. Okay, and you said I can just go over instead of.
It's a better. It's a. It's a. It's
out in the joint. Well, you just go over with the product.
No. You do want to regrout the joints if you have loose joints. I don't want you just to leave that there. If you've got depressions and loose mortar, put new mortar in there so that it's solid and you're maintaining the integrity of the wall. And then once that dries, then you can go over the top of that with the Blue Max product to try and keep the moisture out. Noe, thanks so much for the phone call. 9:54 in the morning. Quick break, and we'll be right back. 877-2134-LOU. Our last caller is going to receive a House Smarts radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling. Whether you're renovating your kitchen or bathroom, Cobblestone Remodeling's team of award-winning designers can help create your vision. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. We're going to send that hat out to Mike in Coal City. Hey, Mike, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello. Hey, I got a question about a handle on my outside spigot we attached to garden hose.
Okay.
The screw is rusted and stripped, and I can't get the handle off. I can't get the screw out. Do you have any tips to get that screw out?
I love this lightweight oil that I talk about called Superzilla, which has capillary properties. Is the screw set inside of the handle, or could you grab a pair of small vice grips to grab the side of the screw?
No, I tried the vice grips, and I can't do that.
Nothing. Okay, then more than likely, what you're going to have to do, and is this a frost-proof hose bib or yeah. regular?
Yes.
Okay.
No, frost-proof.
How new of a unit is it?
It's probably been under at least 10 years.
Okay. You may have to take the entire stem out and the seat nut out and then go to the hardware store and see if they can sell you a new insert to go inside there if you can't get the screws. And then put it in like that. Sorry about that. Thanks so much for your phone call. Thank you so much for listening, everybody.